Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. Discover how you can take charge of the all-new Corsa E on opel.ie. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
As we were saying there with the Minister, over the weekend the Taoiseach dealt a further blow to homeschooling parents, indicating that not all students will be back in school by St Patrick's Day. That's in mid-March, of course. In fact, the date being suggested for schools to be functioning at full capacity once again may be closer to Easter. That's around the first week in April, according to a government source quoted in today's Irish Times. For reaction to this news, I'm joined by Geraldine Mead, a primary school teacher, and by Jen Hogan, our regular contributor on parenting and columnist with the Irish Times, both of whom are homeschooling their children as well as working. Geraldine, I'll start with you. I mean, this news that we heard that most children won't be back until Easter, what does it mean for you, both in your capacity as a teacher and a parent?
Hi, Claire. How are you? I think it's so disappointing that we're going to be distance learning for the foreseeable future until the end of March or the Easter break. But looking at the figures and looking at the way things are, Claire, I think it's necessary. I mean, safety is paramount, and what we need to do in this situation is to make sure, as schools and as teachers and as parents, but especially as schools and teachers, that we have the right systems in place to make sure that we are getting to every single child, that they are still getting an education. Mm-hmm. I think it's of paramount importance.
A bit of a shock, though, over the weekend, wasn't it? It just means you have to adjust your outlook on what we're going through at the moment and, you know, change your expectations as to when it might end.
Absolutely. And I think for a lot of people, they were looking at this short term. And a lot of people out there are under huge pressure. They're either working from home and are trying to manage their kids at the same time, or they're going out as frontline workers or other workers, and they're trying to get children minded and somebody in. So there's so many different problems with each of those things, you know. And so for parents, I think it's really, really difficult to try. What we need to do is try get some sort of routine in place for kids. But again, that it has to be managed well from a school's point of view, that all teachers are working together to make sure the kids are gotten to, you know, are being taught.
Are being reached. Well, Jen, how did you react to the news over the weekend and today?
Yeah, I mean, I was very disappointed at the way in which we learned earlier, at the end of last week, we were hearing how schools and construction would be treated differently and when extended restrictions were being considered. And I suppose that gave parents a little bit of hope. And nobody is suggesting for a second that schools return against public health advice. You know, safety, of course, is paramount. But as parents, and the messages that I'm getting from parents here, it really shows very little thought, because it's not just our outlook that we're going to have to adjust. It's our circumstances too. There were a lot of parents got in touch with me and said that they will now have to come out of work altogether, take indefinite unpaid leave, and they're worrying about the knock-on impact, like paying bills and all that sort of thing. And I suppose even for the children themselves, you know, we're trying to look after their mental and physical well-being, and now we're obviously responsible for their formal educational needs. And that's not to take from what the schools are doing. The schools, well, there is actually, I am hearing reports of a lot of discrepancies between the approach of different schools, and that's causing a certain degree of frustration where we've some Zoom classes and some where there's not Zoom classes. But there is, it is an unworkable and utterly unworkable situation for so many of us. And I think the fear is now that we'll be expected to continue as this, where really we need a different approach. We need a new solution. We need something that includes all children and that will offer all children maximum time in the classroom, where all children can be taught, as opposed to all children being at home where only some can be taught. So I think I put out this idea of perhaps a reshuffled school calendar, where maybe we brought the Easter holidays forward. Everybody would go on leave at the moment, you know, designate this period school holidays, so teachers wouldn't be working either, because a lot of teachers have got in touch with me as well too to say that they are buckling under the pressure. You know, they're working hard trying to teach their classes, take care of their own children. They're worried their children are falling behind because they can't do two things at the same time any more than the rest of us can.
Geraldine, who's on the line with us, has 8 children. So Geraldine, you're teaching at home and in school remotely at the same time.
Yeah. The way I'm doing it, Claire, is I'm up very early in the morning. I've worked a lot at the weekend as well, but I get up early every morning, so I've those 2 or 3 hours before my own kids are starting, because during the day when I'm online and trying to manage my class of 32 and then my own 8, it's pretty hectic. So I'm going very much between the two, but what I need is those hours in the morning, and then the minute Johnny is finished work, he's working from home here, he comes out, or at lunchtime he'll come out for an hour and give me time to go through things. Mm. Like, what it means is that you were working from a very early hour to very late in the evening.
You see, that's fine for a short period of time. That's just not sustainable.
Like, yeah.
Even for you, Geraldine, as a mother of 8 and a teacher and all the other things that you do, it's just really difficult to expect you to keep going at that for any period of time.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. And that's why I think there's two things here. You see, what it always comes back to, Claire, is safety. And there must be a better way probably of doing it, but for schools to reopen, then what are we contemplating? A lot more cases, a lot more possible deaths. It's just not worth it. So what we need to do from the point of view of education and from the point of view of parents and the society as a whole, I mean, organisations need to know that there are people, that there are parents working, that there are kids are there, and there needs to be some flexibility there. Mm-hmm. And nobody expecting that somebody's going to work as they did. I mean, this is, you know, this is an unimaginable thing. But I think expecting that there's just one parent who's managing the kids, and maybe while the other person, everything is supposed to go along as normal, is just not sustainable. There needs to be a balance there. And I really think that schools, that all schools need to have a system in place where they are getting to their kids. And if they're not doing it online, how are they doing it?
Okay, I want to bring in Reuben Murray, who's president of the Irish Secondary Students Union. And Reuben, we wanted to talk to you about the Leaving Cert. I don't know if you heard Minister Eamon Ryan there a little while ago saying he would prefer to see the Leaving Cert going ahead. What do you think now that we know that the schools won't be back in full until around Easter, it would seem?
Well, when we, the ISSU, conducted a survey of 25,000 students. 13,000 Leaving Certs answered that. And we saw that 55 of them said that they want a choice between calculated grade or sitting in the in-person exam.
55% of them, was it?
Yes, but we actually did preferences. So we take in second preferences of that. 81% of that 13,000, I said that they want a choice between calculated grades and sitting in-person exams. So that's a very clear choice towards they want an established other option. And we also saw that the support for the exams happening regularly, well, that's not there. There's very little support for them to go ahead as planned. So we need to start looking at alternatives. Our official position as the Irish Second Level Students Union has been that the State Exams Commission, the Department of Education and all the stakeholders meet together to find an alternative. A form of calculated grades using continuous assessment with the option to sit scale down exams, because there will be challenges for us all, but we've come to a point in time where the stress that students have been put through in the past months, the disruption they have faced and the stress that they will face if we continue to just steam ahead, it's too much. So if we stop now, take a breath and find a pragmatic, compassionate choice that will work for all stakeholders, we will be in a far better position to progress and to get these students out the other end.
Okay, and would you be happy for a decision to be taken over the next 2 weeks, or do you think it needs to be taken sooner?
So over the next 2 weeks, there's a balance here. We can provide clarity, a full laid out plan, detailed stage by stage. That's not feasible to get in a week or 3 days. Like, that's not going to happen. But we can let students and we can let the school community know our plan is this. This is what we are doing. And a full plan will be out on this day. We need to provide clarity, and we would like to see a decision and students and school community told this is what we are working to in early February. The full plan might take a little longer. We don't want this rush, but we need to provide clarity. We don't need to drag it out.
Okay, Reuben, thank you very much for that. Jen, to come back to you on that point, for Leaving Certs, it's particularly difficult. And the problem, of course, for this year's Leaving Cert group is that they miss so much time in the last school year as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge ask. And again, every student is not impacted the same. There are such different situations at home. Not everybody has a suitable learning environment, and they really deserve to be told early. We need an early call, a very early call on this. And the same for junior cert students, who could be forgiven for thinking they've been forgotten about altogether, because there's been very little mention, if any, of them at all. I think teenagers largely have been overlooked in this whole situation, the Leaving Cert and the younger years, because there's just this presumption that they can get on with things because they're teenagers and they understand. But that basically forgets the whole essence of who teenagers are and the motivation they need and the peer support they need as they kind of go through their education. And there are students who are clinging on by the fingernails in the education system who may not return to education after this. And that's the really sad thing, the students that will be lost and perhaps the disadvantage, the further disadvantage that they'll be placed at, all because of continued school closure. Okay. So I do think we have to look at teens too.
All right, listen, we'll leave it there for now, but I'm sure we'll check in with you both again. Good luck today and in the coming days with the homeschooling and all the rest of it. Geraldine Mead, Jen Hogan and Reuben Murray. We're going to speak to David Nabarro from the World Health Organization after this break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.